Blog Talk Radio.
Dr. Hunter.
Amen. Praise the living God. Hallelujah. Well, come on up here, you rascal. Tonight, as I said, we're waiting on our beloved sister, the husband and wife, to come on tonight. And apparently, we had pushed the wrong number. So, if they would just call back, we think we got it figured out. You see, all this new technology is something. This new technology is something else. But I want to just say to you that love the Lord with all your heart. You can trust in Him. You can believe in Him. And God is an awesome God. He loves us. And as I was saying to y'all, sometimes when you get these different toys, you start playing with them, make a mistake. So I'm guilty. Can y'all forgive me? I'm forgiven. Okay. I have tonight with us Mr. and Mrs. Trevino. They want to talk to our audience tonight about what God can do in their lives. Good evening. How are y'all?
We're good. How are you?
How you doing?
I'm blessed. It's good to your voice. It's good to your voice. And
you too.
I know there's a lot God has put on your heart, so we're open, okay?
Okay.
All right. Go right ahead.
My husband's pointing at me.
Ma'am?
And my husband's pointing at me. He says, you go. If y'all haven't figured it out by now, I'm kind of the mouth.
Oh, okay. I do, but I wanna make sure I give him the first respect. You understand?
He does.
Praise God. Amen.
He does.
I know you got a lot to say. Y'all, a lot of things have to happen that God has moved y'all into the next bilingual. So tell us tonight what God has told you on your heart.
You know, I was thinking about that, and I talk about things that happen to us from week to week, and and seeing people and being around different people reminds me a lot of times of, you know, where we've been and where we've come from and, you know, where we're going. And recently, God was talking to me about becoming one in our marriage. Because I see some things. I see so many couples, and we were the same exact way. We would go off and do our own thing. We wouldn't consult with each other. We would, you know, we would spend money without talking to each other. We would make plans without talking to each other, and then we'd get upset because, you know, one wanted to do this, and the other one wanted to do something else, or someone didn't want to buy this, and, you know, or they did want to buy it, or, you know, whatever. And, if you've got children, and then, you know, that complicates it even more because now you've got decisions that you've got to not only make for the family, but you've got to make, you know, for your child as well. And so in the oneness of being married, we learned over time that we really had to look at what it is that we were trying to decide. And whether or not it was worth our peace and our oneness with God. And slowly God began to chip away at the both of us to drop whatever motives we had for doing what we were doing or saying what we were saying or not doing and saying. And he took us and started to join us together to fight whatever spiritual battle was coming against us, because that's usually how it sneaks in an everyday life, right?
Right.
So once we learned how to come together, well, you know, we started coming to each other, and me very much coming to my husband saying, okay, so what do I do? Well, here, can you look at this and tell me what you think? And, you know, and just out of respect, for him as a leader in the family, to come to him and realize that he is very wise and he does know a lot. He may not say a whole lot, but he's watching everything. And God used that to bring me to him so that we could be really and truly one. So even now, if someone asks me, even, you know, when you ask me to do things, Dr. Hunter, you always tell me go check with your husband because you know that's what I'm going to do, and
that's the right procedure.
And so what I'm saying is that for women who are running off doing their own thing, and not consulting with their husbands, even in the tiniest thing, and you know you think that doesn't mean anything in the tiniest little thing, but it does. It means a whole lot. Because it's in those small little details where that cracks. Like my husband always says, it can be given an opening for, you know, something to be planted and grown into something that's not of God. So, you know, I just want to encourage spouses to really spend some time with each other, however you need to talk about the tiniest detail to the biggest decisions. Really share. I promise you when you do that, you'll learn to trust each other more. You'll learn to trust God more. Your faith will grow. Your marriage will grow. And guess what? Now you're passing that same thing on to your kids. And now you've changed generations. Now
like
you're changing
generations.
Yep. Because they're going to do the same thing with their spouse. They're going to seek out somebody the same way and do the same thing with them. And so, you know, if we can do that, you know, one family at a time, you know, one child at a time, then, you know, we've done nothing but please God, and that's what he wants. He wants to be in relationship with us. He wants to be in relationship in the marriage. He wants us to seek him about everything.
Amen. Well, we've heard from the other half. Let's hear from the other part. The husband. Is he out there, husband?
From the husband. How y'all doing tonight?
Well, praise the Lord, my brother. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Lord's taking care
praise
of me.
God.
Yes, sir. She's right about everything there, Dr. Hunter. And another thing is when you consult with each other on what's happening, consult with your spouse daily.
Uh-huh.
And for instance, my daughter, when she said it rubs down from generation to generation, that's true because I've seen it rub off on my daughter. Just yesterday, for example, there's a street behind our house and her boyfriend is driving by and he revs up them wheels and I can hear her tell him, yeah, I hear your car, and I made a remark like, tell that knucklehead boy to don't be so immature, not to be doing that, and she defended him right away. She says, Don't you talk about my boyfriend like that. See, she knows. She knows that she's heard that from her mom. When I tell her, don't talk to your mom that way, or don't talk to your mom like that. She's using it on her behalf by saying, don't talk about my boyfriend like that. Well, it does pass down from generation to generation. It grows. Marriage becomes stronger.
Amen. So we find out early in life that some of our ways, they do carry over.
They're watching. They're listening.
Yep. And it all ties back into the scripture, Dr. Hunter, about teaching a child and the oneness and becoming one flesh in Corinthians. And I don't like to quote the scripture because I like for people to, know that that is our guide, and we know that those words are there, but to seek them out, because that's how God taught me. He would give me a word, and he would say, okay, Myrna, he says, go into the back of the Bible and look up the word that you're looking for and find the scriptures on that and read the scriptures on all of that so that you can see that I'm here. If I was hurting and I needed comfort, I'd look up the word comfort and I'd find the scriptures related to all of that. If I needed, prayer, or if I was, talking about love, or I needed peace, all those words are in the back of the Bible in the concordance. You can find those scriptures, and then you can meditate on those scriptures. And that was the beginning of the change that God showed me how to use the Bible. Then I started from there. I started studying the Bible and then, reading it and reading the notes, and I was just ravenous about, looking and reading and searching and finding and reading and searching and finding and just not giving up and just kept on doing it. And now we're at a point where, I go to Bible study now, and I spend a couple hours there once a week, and, we still go out and we're feeding the homeless, and we're doing a lot of different things that keep us fed. We're feeding. God is feeding our soul. And it's so important to do that individually, but also to share with your spouse what you're learning so you can talk about it in fellowship. And when you do that, that's church.
Amen.
Hello?
Well,
yeah.
It's possible that sometimes you read the script and pray, and sometimes you read the script and pray, or people out there, what y'all do?
Well, if we've got a situation, we go to prayer, or we try and find the scripture specifically. Like, for instance, when we were having a lot of trouble daily, and we were arguing a lot, and I was looking for scriptures on my husband because I wanted to fix him, and that didn't work because all the scriptures in there talk about leave my husband to him and mind your own business. So then I started looking for scriptures. Huh?
I'm just listening.
And then I found scriptures on love and, what it meant to actually love someone. And when the one about, I think it's in Corinthians, that love is patient and it's kind, one of those words and what that actually meant. And the Holy Spirit was there to help convict me of my actions and to really start walking the walk. So whenever we have an issue, like recently, for instance, we were trying to figure out what we were going to do about a certain situation here in the neighborhood and how we were going to approach it. And so I gave my husband the documents, and when it first came up, the first thing he told me was pray about it and before you go and talk to the neighbor about it. And so we did, and we prayed about it. And it's not a big, long, drawn-out thing, Dr. Hunter. It is two people together in prayer, holding hands and in total agreement in their hearts, not distracted from anything. Total agreement.
Amen.
In their hearts, okay? Because it's scriptural that when two people come together, in agreement, anything is granted. So it's really important that you search your heart, that when you are praying with somebody, that they're not distracted by what's in the prayer. And so it can be very quick and very easy, just asking the Lord to hear your prayer. Whatever his will is, let it be done, and let us be okay with it, because we know what you have for us is good. And so that's how we approach it. You know, we get down on our knees, or we can be in the car. And, you know, it's not a big drama, you know, showy kind of thing. It's, okay, we're going to stop for 5 or 10 minutes, and we're going to pray. And we're going to ask the Lord for help and guidance. And sure enough, I guarantee you, within 24 hours, 48 hours, the Holy Spirit talks to my husband, the Holy Spirit talks to me, and then we come to each other and we're like, hey, yeah, I heard the same thing. You heard the same thing? Yeah, we heard the same thing.
Well, one of the things I wrote a little note down to myself as y'all were talking, said, consult. I put a question. Who do y'all consult? Besides somebody around you, somebody that, who do y'all consult with? I put a big question in here with A, B,
God.
C. Who do y'all consult with?
God.
Okay.
If we go to another human being before we go to God, then we're doing a disservice to his word. Now, if I go to God and I'm not getting an answer, I'll continue to pray, or I'll search it out in the Bible. If I'm confused about something, my pastor, but I always go back, even though my pastor tells me something, to the Bible, and see if it lines up.
I always go back to
the scripture and make sure it lines up. Yeah.
Well, you know, in this current generation we live in, you and I, we crossed certain marks, but it behooves us to reach out and tell them, as you were talking about your daughter's boyfriend. You know, these young people, they want to they want to let it be known that they are who they are. So we have to put our hands. But wait a minute, you don't have to make that much noise. We see you, we hear you. Now, can you come down a tidbit, and perhaps some young people look at it and say, what do you mean? This is mine. And, you know, we get into a situation sometimes that we, even with our children, with some people that we know, everybody don't think. See, you and the husband, like wife and I, we think we're different in attitude. She's a female, I'm a male. But we come to an understanding of what we can do. And a lot of times, I don't see what she says, but eventually I say, that makes sense to me. Because if I give in her part, and I'm setting up this, and I'm saying, okay, Lord, is this what you want to do, Lord? Is this what you want to do? Sometimes some people don't understand what I'm about to say, but y'all need to grow up. If you want to stay footloose and fancy-free in your marriage, remember this. Listen to what the woman is saying. Listen to what the woman is saying, providing she's in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to what she's saying. Sometimes the wife can tell you, unknowing you know it, says you need to keep your eyes open to this, to that, or that. Why? Because God has given them that innate ability to deceive and know. And some men say, well, I tell men, don't think so much that you're really in charge. If you got somebody on your side, y'all in it together. Because what affects you affects him. What affects him affects you. Am I right?
Very true. Very true.
So it comes to a point where sometimes you got a lot of people that are listening to want to hear what we got to say because they want to do what they want to do.
Yeah, and here's the thing: is as a woman, we're the husband's helper. That's why we're here. We're the helper. We're supposed to help. Like you said, your wife will warn you or tell you, you know, watch out for this or watch out for that or Because you're right, we have an innate tuition. Intuitively, we know. God built that into us. And so, and you're right, it's not so much that the man is dominant over us as wives, is that the fact that he is male, he is the leader, with that comes huge responsibility. Huge.
Amen.
And accountability to God. Huge.
I love the way you said that.
As a woman, I was brought up to be the one in control, and I'm sorry if people get upset about what I'm about to say, but I am tired of being the one in charge. I'm not built for it. The man is built for it. It's an innate response. It's innate in men to be the responsible one and the one to be accountable for the leadership in the family. They just are. And women, doesn't mean you can't be a leader in a company. Doesn't mean you can't go out and lead committees. Doesn't mean you're less than or any of those kinds of things. Doesn't mean any of that. But in the household, if she's running it, I'm sorry, I did that for many years. I am tired. And
I'll gladly
give up that responsibility. Take it.
I'll take us back to the Bible where Abraham and his wife Sarah. Sarah thought that she could get the firstborn that God had promised. See, when God comes in, he does it in a royal attitude. And she said, well, you take the girl and go ahead and I'll hold her while she's dropping the child in my lap. As though I bought it. Now, think about what she said. Think about it. See, you got some people that they still think the same way. And when the woman finally had the baby, the first son was born by the lady who was an Ethiopian. And then when the baby was born by Abraham and Sarah, Sarah got jealous and said, "Get him out of here." And so I said, "Oh, that's kind of mean." No, if she's out of made a mistake, get out of here, because he's going to inherit my son. And see, every woman's going to look out for her son. I don't care what nobody says. They're going to look out for them children. But she comes to understand she made a mistake. And she had to come before him and forget. As she said, if you can, then we'll let God handle it. So I think that's the best attitude that we need to have whenever we do. And I say to you tonight that there are a lot of humans out there that need our resources that we can have. It's up to us to continue to walk in the light of God. It's up to us to continue to walk in the love of God. It's up to us to keep doing what the Lord says for us to do. And I know that there are a lot of people that are listening. And like last night, we had 1,500 people listening last night.
Wow.
And
Wow.
But that's okay. I don't know. I ain't checked it yet. I know a lot of people are listening. See, people are hungry. People are hungry for the word of God. They thirst. They want somebody who's not going to play with them. They want somebody that's got reality. That's what they're looking for. And as I always say to some people, don't set yourself unattainable.
And you know, it's funny you say that. That's what I was looking for when God found me. When we started to really, really get into his word and the truth, Dr. Hunter, the truth, that's when things really started to change in our marriage. Because what you're saying is we were hungry too, and we still are. So you know that was the turning point. If we went to church and something wasn't lining up with the Bible, we left. If we had a mentor or a pastor that was telling us something and it didn't line up with the Bible, we left.
Well, let me ask you, Let me ask you this, because we're living in a time where a lot of are raising that question to me, and up to let's pray about it. Sometimes, God, is it possible that sometimes God put us in situations, see what we're going to do? Are we going to stand or are we going to run?
Mm-hmm.
So I ask myself that question all the time. Has God put me in a situation to run or to stay and pray and fight? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does, as long as God is the one doing the fighting and not you.
Yeah, and so if you didn't pray to God and say, okay, Lord, you said right here, see, God put us in a situation. He told Abraham, he said, look, he said, the place I'm going to sit to leave where you are right now. See, God could
yeah.
take us out when he's ready to. And he had him
yeah.
to leave. So I say to a lot of people, sometimes don't be too quick to leave, because somebody looking for the fruit that you have already born in the spirit, and they need it. And when
yeah.
God says, yo, it's time to go. Ain't time to look back. It's time to go.
Yeah. Well, we didn't leave quickly. We waited, and, you know, we listened, and we kept checking back with the Bible and checking back with the Bible. And, you know, when we started to see that things were not lining up, that's when we left. And we would talk, actually, we would bring it up, you know, we would talk about, you know, well, the Bible says this, this, and this. And we would talk about that, but when things didn't change, we had to leave because we were learning. And when you're new and you're learning, you have to be so careful and so discerning about what you're letting into your heart, because you can
yeah.
easily be deceived if you're very new in the spirit. And
yes.
We were grateful that God had shown us how to help each other and how to pray with each other and check with each other and Him on what we you know saw and what was actually happening and what was being said versus what was in the Bible. And so
yes.
we stayed out for a little while until recently. I heard a word that said, I need you to be my light, and you can't be my light if you're not going out. And you can't be my light in darkness, so go back into the church. And my husband picked a church for us, and he prayed about that also, too, and he found one that we're going to now. And so, you know, it's a progressive thing. It's a
yeah.
thing that it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight. Even in our marriage, it doesn't happen overnight. You have to kiss a couple of toads every once in a while till you finally find one. And then, you know, he seasons both of us over time to get us to where we're at. It's not a quick fix, but it is the truth, and it is a wonderful daily journey.
Yes, it is. But, you know, sometimes I have a lot of people that come on the radio station, and they take an attitude. Everybody, I say to people, I'm not here to criticize, push aside, lie aside. I'm here to push the word of God out and make it. If a person wants it, it's there to take it.
Mm-hmm.
I think, ma'am?
Yes, that's right.
And husband and wife have to have the same. See, if your wife is going to one church and you're going to another church, it's a problem, because it's called coming under the authority of the believer.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of pastors don't believe what you and I believe. They don't want
yeah.
to speak what we speak. They want to do what they do. They have ungodly discipline. And I'm not so much, I used to be very emotional, because I used to be one of those Baptist preachers that could get up there and quote the scriptures and make music to it. But I've come to understand, my people need teaching.
Mm-hmm.
My people need teaching. And our
yeah.
people, black, white, rich, or poor, they need some teaching.
Yes.
And when we don't teach them, they can go before the Lord and say, well, Trevina didn't teach me anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they did. You just wanted to listen.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a lot of people out there, beloved, that will hear, but they won't listen.
Mm-mm.
And the Bible tells us that he that has, he said, hear what the Spirit is saying. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And the churches today, and as I said to some people, and perhaps may I just say this here, there are times that we live in right now, we're going to have to pull ourselves back from attitudes we see. And I give you an example. Brother lesbian doing what she's doing, another homosexual, another liar, another thief, another murderer. I'm not looking at things that's not of God to be contaminating me. Does that make sense? Hello?
Yeah. It does, and it doesn't. And here's why. Because Jesus came to be amongst the sinners. And we are now at a level where we can walk amongst the sinners because we are sinners. And we can't judge what they are saying or what they're doing. And I understand what you're saying is that we have lost all control of what God is telling us to do. And you know, maybe we could help or you could help the person who is lying and stealing and cheating or is a lesbian or gay by showing them the love of Christ, because I guarantee you, if you tell them that you're a Christian, just like our children are watching us, they're watching you. And you can't be the example in the light if you sit there and judge them. You can't.
No. I said that to say what I said for the understanding. I don't mind a homosexual, a lesbian, a thief, a murderer being in my midst, because I have my heart set right to help them.
Right.
My understanding to reach out and touch and not to put them down. I got a lot of nephews that are homosexual, some are still lesbian. I still love them. But my whole statement is, if you don't get it right for Jesus, you're still going to hell. Well, you was a sinner. Yes, I was. But I don't have the sin attitude, because I have come to understand what the Bible says, and it points to you and I. Those of us who have been born of God, there is no sin left for us to do unless we decide to just leave all of what God wants done for us.
But there is the not obvious sin, Dr. Hunter. There's the sin of judgment, the sin of pride, the sin of ego, the sin of manipulation. Those are all obvious. I mean, things that are not obvious, not, you know, like the other sins that are obvious, like lying and stealing and cheating and, you know, fornicating and all those things. Those are internal heart kind of sins that only you and I and God know. Those sins, still, we get convicted of those. And here's an example I'm going to tell you real quick, okay? Last year, I don't know if I've shared this before, last year I got a ticket. A speeding ticket. Have I shared this before? Do you remember?
Go ahead.
Okay. Last year I got a speeding ticket in November, this month, and the cop pulled three cars over, okay? I was doing 50 in a 30-mile-an-hour zone, okay? But he pulled three cops over. So, yeah, right? So I'm laughing, and I'm going, okay, well, you know, this will be easy to win in court. Okay, there's the first sin. I'm going to lie. Okay? Right, so I can get out of the ticket, so I don't have to pay for the car insurance, right? Okay. So I get the ticket, I get a lawyer to lie for me. There's a second sin. Now I've involved somebody else in my trap. Okay. So a year goes by, I end up going to court in August of this year. And my lawyer doesn't show up, and they show up very late. And guess what? When I walked into the courtroom, I knew that the cop was there. I already knew in my spirit. The lawyer finally shows up, goes back, and she says, the police officer's here. I went, okay, Lord, I know what you're doing. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to lie about this, and I'll go ahead and pay everything. So they give me three options. They won't let me have the one option, which is deferred adjudication, so I can get off and just have probation, right? Oh, no. They're going to make me do defensive driving, and now I got to pay the court costs. Okay, it was a simple $100 ticket, all because I wanted to manipulate and I wanted to lie and I wanted to involve a third party to get me off, okay, when I was doing 50 in the 30-mile-an-hour zone.
Wow.
Things that are normal, those things that are normal in the norm, in the world to do, are still in us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And God used it to show me that.
Yeah, but see, that's true. I'm glad to hear you say that. I'm glad that you say that. But, you know, I keep going back to this, and it baffles me and not anybody else, because I done looked at it and turned it upside down, and I say always there are crowns and rewards given. That's called in the Revelation, the Bema Street. See, that's when we who accept Jesus Christ at the cross, all of our sins,
mm-hmm.
when we accepted him, was washed away. But
yeah, and he's and I was forgiven for that, what I did. Yeah, I totally understand. But what I'm saying is that we really have to watch ourselves. Okay?
Well, that's what I'm saying. See, when you
mm-hmm.
see, here's the charge I've come to find out in my faith and my praying to God. See, my sins have been forgiven. I'm in good standing with God. But see, everything since the day I received Jesus Christ, that's when
mm-hmm.
Jesus is going to judge us. What did you do while you had me in your body?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that a lot of tell a lot of people. If you get to that. See, two judgments. And when your sins were Calvary, and we went to Calvary, and we saw how they beat Jesus so bad, but he didn't say a mumbling word.
Nope.
See,
nope.
But I always said, believer, according to the word of God, when you read what Paul said, I judge myself every day.
Yeah.
So that when I stand before God, there is nothing.
Right.
So I say to people, I say this, and this is me speaking now. I'm not trying
mm-hmm.
to make somebody sick or safe. But if we
mm-hmm.
have the believer, see, when you got that salvation, that's when he's gonna bring it into the focus at the Bema Street, the great white throne. And you know, a lot of people not gonna stand. Let me show you an example. In Romans 4:10-14. And here's what Paul says here. But why doest thou judge thy brother? Or why doest thou say that? Notice our brother. But we all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We all stand. I'm not going to judge you.
Yeah.
But I can't tell nobody to judge me because they're going to do what they want to do. But
mm-hmm.
it's plain and clear.
Yeah.
Plain and clear.
Yep.
And I know. Amen. Well, you know, God has been good to us tonight, and
mm-hmm.
keep y'all on. Amen. Y'all got a prayer? Y'all want to talk to something before we let your time go?
Yeah.
We got about 15 minutes.
My husband does.
Dr. Hunter, to the newly, you've heard the phrase, the term, the baby Christians.
Yeah.
That are starting out. For the newlyweds that just haven't been married too long, for those men to keep their marriage strong, just do your daily prayer every day, daily, to your Father. Ask him for wisdom, for him to give you the light, for you to be the light for your family, to keep your family strong. And your family will grow stronger and stronger. Your love for each other will grow. And you will notice that your light will become brighter and brighter.
And brighter.
As long as you continue your walk with God, your light will shine and your family will look up to it.
Praise God. Those are words of wisdom. Well,
and you don't have to make a lot of noise to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
Once they know the wisdom is there, they will listen.
Mm-hmm.
I love what you said, brother. I love it. I love what you just said. I love it.
Can I add one more thing to that?
Go right ahead.
If we forget about ourselves, when we forget about ourselves, then God can work.
Oh, God. Ooh. Say that again.
When we can forget about ourselves, then God can work.
My God.
For some
those
people, it's
powerful words that have been spoken tonight.
Yeah.
Powerful words. So, beloved out there, listen, you've heard that Reno tonight come back to us once again and profess and confess the beauties of marriage. If we can tell you what they said, God so loved them, and they love God, and ain't nothing nobody can do about it. And I say this to you that are listening to us and believe what God is saying. If you want to do what God is doing in their lives, come it upon you to take it to the next level. And God will do it. He will do it. God will do it. But it's up to you. So having said what has been said, it's been a good night for them. I thank God for them. And one thing I would say, they're here every Monday night from 7 until 7:30. But we had some difficulties, and I'm still learning about how to take care of this radio station on the Internet, because a lot of times wires get crossed up and I have to take my time. But I thank God for them being here tonight. I thank them for the attitude they have, and they believe that God is so good. And when you hear, I've watched them, and I'm still learning a lot. See, I never get too old to learn something. The more you love your wife, the more you're going to see what God does for you. And I always say this, and it kind of makes people grin. See, when I get to heaven, if it's all possible, I want to ask God if it's possible. Lord, can you tell me what that woman that you were talking about while you put us to sleep? And you know what God's going to say? You didn't know then, you ain't going to know now. So I said, okay. Oh, I love y'all, and God bless y'all. Until next time, we'll see you.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. I want a turkey. I want some turkey. I want some dressing. I just want some turkey.
Well, I'm making all of that, so I'm cooking.
Okay. Well, in case y'all hear from my brother, Stephen. Stephen, if you're out there, we still love you. We miss you.
Yeah.
God bless and be.
His phone died. He texted me and told me his phone. I mean, he sent me an email. His phone died, so I don't think he took his charger with him.
Oh, my Lord. Well, let's throw a rock down there wherever he is.
Yeah.
Let's throw
all
a
right.
rock down there. Well, listen, until that time again, the Lord love y'all. And thank y'all
you
for
too.
Being a part of KSK Radio Station. God bless you.
Thank you.
And God keep you. Amen.
Amen.
So, I would say to the ones who are listening tonight, who are listening with us, and you are here, I want to say this to some of you. We still love God. Do you still love it? And, you know, I want to thank you for listening, Audrey. If you like to sow a seed into this ministry, write your prayer request and send it to ASK Ministry and 6722 Marshall, Houston, Texas. Tune in. We got some more teaching and preaching of the Word of God. and somebody has some good news. So I'm going to take a few minutes to put us on the pause, and I want you to hear what God has blessed to a man by the name of Hagin. I want you to hear. I'm going to let him talk, and then at 8 o'clock, I'm coming back with somebody who has a word. Somebody has to say a word. See, the word is what makes us sure. The word is what makes us pure. The word is what makes us. The word is just there for us. No matter what nobody says. See here, praise the living God among all blessings, Lord. And God is the one that we know and we love him. Do you love God? Do you love him? Do you love him?
B63H03, Healing Scriptures.
I'm reading from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read from the Word of God and give you God's medicine. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Healing is God's will. There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said. So it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Then 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Then again, 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down at the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you, both the will and the do of his good pleasure. Romans 8, 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 7:15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Exodus 15:26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none or forbid none these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 37:8. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure thee, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you lie and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Leviticus 26, chapter, the 3rd verse, and then the 9th verse. If ye walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments, and do them, I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Isaiah 58:8. Then shall thy life break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. 2 Chronicles chapter 30, verse 20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah the captain of thy people. Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said, shall he not do it? Or have he spoken, and shall he not make it? 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. 2 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, the 9th verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Bishop Echo is on the line. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is Bishop Echo Show. I'm from Church on the Rock Fellowship. Church on the Rock Fellowship sends his greetings. Located at 15987 West Emma Road, Houston, Texas, 77082. Our telephone number is 832-373-3227. We have our weekly activities on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Friday, we have Weekend to Remember at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. in the evening, and on Sunday we have our services at 10 o'clock. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, today we are going to talk about how to be willing and obedient in the things of God, and God will bless you. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy 28 from verse 1. And the Bible says that it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. There is an overtaking blessing that will come to you when you listen, when you obey the voice of the Lord. There's an overtaking blessing that is about to take place in the life of somebody here tonight that is listening to the sound of my voice. An overtaking blessing comes to you when you are willing and obedient, doing as commanded. If you can do all his commandments, which he commanded thee this day, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord. Blessed shall that be in the city. You are going to be blessed in this city, in the mighty name of Jesus. You will be blessed in the city when you obey the voice of the Lord, when you are willing and obedient, but doing as commanded. When you obey the voice of the Lord, things will turn around for your good. I'm speaking to somebody listening to the sound of my voice. God is about to turn things around for your good in the mighty name of Jesus. If you can obey him, obedience is the key to your breakthrough. Obedience will make
the blessings of God begins to shower upon your life. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe that there is somebody listening to the sound of my voice. When you, what you need to do for your blessings to begin to shower upon your life is to be willing and obedient to the word of God. The word of God is so powerful that when you obey the word of God, you are obeying God. And things will begin to turn around for your good. Praise the name of the Lord. I know of a sister in church that listened to the sound of my voice and started doing as commanded. She went into her Bible. This was so tough for her, but when she got into the Bible, she began to read the Word of God. And at the end of the day, she started practicing what is written in the Bible and turned things around for her good. Today she has gotten a job. Things are working for her. She even bought a car and she moved into a brand new house. That's the blessings of God when you are willing and obedient. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. And the Bible says that blessed shall that be in the city, and blessed shall that be in the field. When you are in the city of Houston, anywhere you are, listening to the sound of my voice, God says you will be blessed when you are willing and obedient in that city. That city, things will begin to obey you. The city will listen to you. The city will embrace you. The blessings of that city will begin to be coming to you. Doors will be open for you in that city. As I'm talking to you, there's somebody listening to the sound of my voice. God is about to turn things around in that city which you dwell. You have been asking yourself if you want to move out of that city where you are. But I'm telling you, as a servant of God, just be willing and obedient to the voice of the Lord, and things will begin to turn around for your good in that city. In that same city that you have been looking for a job will begin to come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 3, blessed shall that be in the city, and blessed shall that be in thy field. And verse 4 says, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Your body will produce fruits in the mighty name of Jesus when you are willing and obedient. Amen. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy ground. Even the fruit of thy ground, anything you use your hands to do, the Bible says you are going to prosper because you are willing and obedient and you obey the voice of the Lord. The key, the secret of success is obedience to the voice of the Lord. I'm telling you, there are some of us are struggling today because God will be speaking to us concerning certain things and we don't follow that instruction. You get to obey the voice of the Lord. You get to listen to the voice of the Lord. There are many voices all over the places. And some of us obey the voice of the devil instead of the voice of the Lord. You must be sensitive to the voice of the Lord. You must know which one is the voice of God. You must decide which is the voice of God. When you obey the voice of God, things will begin to turn around for your good. I believe there is somebody listening to the sound of my voice. God is going to start talking to you so that you obey his voice. And when you obey the voice of God, discouragement will disappear. And the voice of God will encourage you in the mighty name of Jesus. And the Bible says, when you obey the voice of the Lord, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body. Your body will become fruitful. You will not be barren. Amen. You can't be barren. And the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy ground is wherever you are walking, whatever you use as a means of livelihood will be prosper. God says he's going to bless it. He's going to bless your business. He's going to bless the works of your hands. Anything you do, you will shine because you obey the voice of the Lord. The key to your success is for you to obey the voice of the Lord. I believe there are so many people listening to the sound of my voice. Just try this. Try to obey the voice of the Lord, and you will see those things that have been a hindrance in your life will turn around for your good in the mighty name of Jesus. The Holy Ghost will help you. The Holy Ghost will favor you. Favor will be your portion when you obey the voice of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. And he says that the blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, the blessed and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Verse 5 says, blessed shall be the basket, thy store. Your storehouse will be filled with blessings of God. Somebody is about to be blessed listening to the sound of my voice. The days of your sorrow is over. The days of your being in dark, in darkness is over. God is trying, God is restoring your life. Your life is about to be restored in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. The key to that is for you to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. God speaks to us every day. It's just that we don't listen to him. He speaks to us. We must listen to what God wants us to do in life. We must obey his commandments. And things will begin to turn around for our good. In the mighty name of Jesus. There's somebody listening to the sound of my voice. God has been speaking to you concerning business. And you have not taken a bold step. Try to take a bold step and go into that business. That business of buying and selling, and things will begin to turn around for your good. The person is listening to the sound of my voice. Get into business, and things will begin to turn around. You are not supposed to be working for people. You are supposed to become an employer of labor. But when you listen to the sound, the voice of God, things will begin to turn around for your good, and you become an employer of labor. God says he's going to bless thy basket and thy storehouse. Verse 6, he says, thou shalt be blessed when thou cometh in, and blessed, thou shalt be blessed, and thou shalt be when thou goeth out. Anytime you go out, you are blessed. Anytime you come in, you are blessed. Why? Because you obey the voice of the Lord. Anytime you go out, you are divinely protected because you obey the voice of the Lord. Anytime you go out, you are going to be highly favored because you obey the voice of the Lord. Anytime you come out, you are blessed. Anybody that sees you, he will see the finger of God in your life. He will see the glory of God in your life because you obey the voice of the Lord. Obedience to the voice of the Lord will turn things that have been a hindrance in your life. He will turn things around into your own favor, to your own good. I can see everything is turning around for your good. There's somebody listening to the sound of my voice. Just begin to be obedient to the voice of God. Things will begin to turn around for your own good. Things will begin to turn around financially. Things will turn around financially. Things will turn around physically. Things will turn around spiritually. Things will begin to favor you in this land. America will favor you. Whichever city you are in now will favor you. In the mighty name of Jesus. The finger of God, the favor of God will be upon you. The glory of God will be upon you. Why? Because you obey the voice of the Lord. He said, blessed shall be when thou cometh out, when you come in, and blessed shall be when you go out. Anytime you go out, people will see the glory of God in you. Anytime you go out, people will see the blessings of God in you. As you go out, by the time you are coming back home, you are coming back home with testimonies. Great testimonies will be in your mouth. Why? Because you are the one that obey the voice of the Lord. The secret of success is obedience to the voice of the Lord. The simplest thing you can do for yourself and your family is to obey the voice of the Lord, and then things will begin to turn around for your good. Why are we faced with a lot of persecution and a lot of closed doors? It's because we are not obedient to the voice of the Lord. When you begin to be obedient to the voice of the Lord, doors will be opened. Thy gates, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, it says, thy gates shall be opened continually. God wants to open up a continual flow of blessings in your life. And he said it's going to be a continuous open door. Your gates will be opened continually. Your blessings will begin to shower from that open gate in the mighty name of Jesus. Verse 7 says, the Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. That shall come out against thee. They shall come out against thee one way. Verse 7 of Deuteronomy 28, if you are just joining us. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Oh, my God.
Amen.
They come against you one way and flee before thee seven ways, your enemies. God is going to fight the enemies for you and make sure that the enemy will be defeated. And they will run away from you. They will flee. Seven ways. They come one way and flee seven ways. That's what the Bible is saying in Deuteronomy 28, verse 7. The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee. People are always rising up against thee. In life, you are going to be confronted with battles. Don't be afraid of battles, because God is going to fight these battles for you. Is somebody listening to the sound of my voice? God is going to fight battles for you. You should not be afraid of challenges. Challenges will come into your life, but you are going to overcome those challenges. Why? Because you listen and obey the voice of the Lord. Obedience to the voice of the Lord will turn things around for your good. Obedience to the voice of the Lord will make your enemies flee away from you. They shall come to fight you, but they shall not prevail against you. The word of God says they shall come to fight you, but they never prevail against you. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 19 says, they shall come to fight you, but they shall not be able to prevail against you. Why? Because you are the one that are obedient to the voice of the Lord. Anyone that is obedient to the voice of the Lord is always a champion. He's always victorious. You are going to have a victorious life when you obey the voice of the Lord. It is very important as a child of God to be obedient to the word of God. You must ask God for discernment so that you can be able to hear when God is speaking. Because there are so many voices in the air. The voice of the devil, always there. And if you are not careful, you start obeying the voice of the devil, thinking that you are obeying the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is different. And God is going to direct your steps so that you can hear the voice of God. You pray that, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to know when you speak to me. And when God speaks to you, you have peace. When God speaks to you, he can speak to you in different areas. He can speak to you in your dream. He can speak to you with a small, still voice that comes, that has a very peaceful voice. And when you obey that voice, things will begin to turn around for your good. He said, the Lord shall command thee thy blessings upon thee in thy storehouse, and all that thou set thy hands unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Anywhere you find yourself, know that God has given you that place. And that God says that he's going to bless, verse 8, the Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouse, and in all that thou set thy hands unto. Anything that you use your hands to do, you will prosper. Anything that you use your hands to do, you are going to be blessed in it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There's somebody listening to the sound of my voice. God is about to bless the works of your hands. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. I say, don't be discouraged. You are listening to the sound of my voice. God is about to give you a breakthrough that you least expected. If you only you can obey him and have faith in him, God will turn things around for your own good in the mighty name of Jesus. From today, your hands are blessed. I speak as a servant of the Most High God that from today, you will begin to shine in the mighty name of Jesus. Your hands are blessed. Whatsoever you use your hands to do, you will prosper in it in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. The Lord says he will bless thy storehouse, and in all that thou set thy hands to do, you will prosper. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And verse 9 says, the Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. The secret of success is for you to walk in the way of the Lord. The secret of success is for you to keep the commandments of the Lord. Keep his commandments. Don't grab his commandment and throw it away. No, keep it. Digest it. Be a hearer and doer of the word of God. And things will begin to turn around for your good. He says, the Lord shall establish thee. He's going to establish you. Verse 9 says, the Lord shall establish thee and holy people unto himself. God is about to establish somebody listening to the sound of my voice today. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will be established. In the area of business, you will be established. In the area of spiritually, you will be established. In every area of your life, you will be established. Your children will be established in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of God is about to establish you. If you can obey the voice of the Lord, God is about to establish you. If you can if you can keep his commandment, God is about to establish you. If you can just obey him, God is the one that establishes people. He is the one that will establish you, not man. If man promotes you or establish you, he will bring you down. But if God lifts you up, it remains permanent. Whatever the Lord has done for you will be permanent in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. There's somebody listening to the sound of my voice. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged. Don't give up. You're about to give up. But God is telling you not to give up. Don't give up. Only obey and obey the voice of the Lord and keep his commandment. And these two things, obedience to the voice of God and keeping his commandment, is going to turn things around for your good. Something is about to happen. Something good is about to happen in your life. Your life is about to turn around. You're about to testify the goodness of God. God is about to change your chapter. God is about to change your case. God is about to put a testimony in your mouth. God is about to put a new song in your mouth. Get ready for a testimony. The person is listening to me. You have struggled all the year. Let me tell you, I have good news for you. 2013 has not come to an end yet. We are still in 2013. God will still do something before the 25th of December. Your Christmas is going to be greater in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. You are going to manifest the blessings of God before 25th of December. Every promises of God concerning you this year that you have not received, between now and 25th of December, you are going to receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. There's somebody listening to the sound of my voice. You have been going on medication, on high blood pressure medication, and the other person who is listening to me, you have been going on with other type of medication, diabetic medication. Let me tell you something. Just obey the voice of the Lord. God is about to touch your body. God is about to heal your body. God is about to take you out of that medication in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. Just obey him and have faith in him that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are healed. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are healed. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ. I thank God for some of you listening to the sound of my voice. God is about to turn things around for your good. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Just hope in him. Have your hope in him. Have your trust in him. When you have faith in the Lord, only believe in him, things will begin to turn around. Somebody that obeys the commandment of God is somebody that has faith in the Lord. Somebody that obeys the commandments of God is somebody that believes in the word of God. Believe in the word of God. And listen to the voice of God and keep his commandments and things, your life will become better. Your life will become sweeter. Your life will never be bitter in the mighty name of Jesus. Your life, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 12, it said the path of the just, Proverbs chapter 4 verse 18, it says the path of the just is like a shining light. It shines more and more unto a perfect day. Your light is about to shine more and more. In the mighty name of Jesus. There's somebody here. You're listening to me. Here is a lady listening to the sound of my voice. Your steps. God is about to shine your light more and more. More and more blessings is coming your way. In the mighty name of Jesus. By the power of the Holy Ghost. More and more blessings is coming your way. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ. 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 There's somebody listening to the sound of my voice. Your name is Esther. Esther is your name. God says, I should let you know that there is hope for you. You shouldn't give up. Things will turn around for your good. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ. You have been having waist pain all the way, and you have been asking yourself, how is this pain going to heal? But I have good news for you. God is healing you right now as you listen to the sound of my voice. Receive it. Receive your healing in the mighty name of Jesus. Receive your healing in the mighty name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ redeems you from that pain in the mighty name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ redeems you from that sickness in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, you are healed by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the blood of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you are healed. You are healed. You are healed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. The Lord says that, the Lord says in Deuteronomy 28, verse 10, and all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Somebody here, their enemies have said, let us see how you are going to make it. I'm telling you, they are going to respect you. They will change their profession. They will know that the finger of God is upon your life. And it says, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord. That's the baby one. You are called by the name of the Lord. The Bible says you are called by the name of the Lord. Therefore, the blessings of God will manifest in your life in the mighty name of Jesus. And people that will see you, they will be afraid of the God you serve. People that will see you, they will be afraid of you. Some people have written you off already and said this one is a failure. Let me tell you something. There's somebody listening to the sound of my voice. You are not a failure, but you are victorious. You are successful. You are great. You are mighty. God says you are mighty. You are listening to me. God says I should tell you that you are mighty and that you are victorious and that you are not a failure, but you are successful. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will not fail. You will never fail. And God is turning things around for your good. If only you can believe in him. If only you can listen to his voice and keep his commandment. Things will turn around for your good. Your mouth, you are about to sing a new song. Oh yes. God is about to take you out of captivity. The Bible says when the Lord turned the captivity of Zion, they were like them that dreamt. Oh yes. And they said in their day, the Lord has done a new thing in my life. The Lord has done some good things. He has put a new song in my mouth. And many shall see it. That's what he says. Many shall see it and be glad. Many shall see it and know that God has started something in your life. Many shall see it. There's somebody here. Your enemies will know that you are not a failure because God has prospered you. God has lifted you up. God will lift you up in the mighty name of Jesus. The Lord will promote you in the mighty name of Jesus. They will see you and be afraid of you. They will know that you are not a failure, that you have a living God, that God has not lost your address. There is somebody listening to the sound of my voice. You thought God has lost your address, but I have good news for you. God has not lost your address. God is with you even in that problem. God is with you even in the midst of every contradicting evidence. God is with you. You are about to sing a new song. Overnight miracle is about to happen. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy, it comes in the morning. Expect joy. Expect a testimony. Expect a powerful breakthrough coming your way. There's somebody listening to the sound of my voice. Finance has been a problem to you, but God is about to turn things around financially into your life. Things are about to turn around. God is about to send somebody that will turn things financially in your life. You're about to catch the favor of men in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In Psalm 126, verse 1, it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Your breakthrough is coming like a dream. You are going to look at it and say, is this a dream? Am I in a dream? No, you are not in a dream. It's for real. God is real. And he's going to turn things around for your good. God is real. And he's going to do things for you that is so amazing that when people see it, they will follow the God you serve. He says, verse 2 says, then was our mouth filled with laughter. You're about to laugh. Right? There's somebody listening to the sound of my voice. You have not laughed for a long time, but you're about to laugh. God will make you laugh. Just like Sarah laughed when God told her that you are going to become mother of many nations. Mother of many nations. Somebody is about to laugh. You are listening to the sound of my voice. Things will turn around for your good. There is hope for you. The Bible says to him that is joined to the living, there is hope. I believe that there is hope for you. Today is your day of breakthrough. Today is your day of testimony. Today is your day of surprises from the Lord. God is about to open doors that the enemy will not be able to shut. God is about to open doors that the enemy will not be able to close anymore. Because God is the one that opened it and no one can shut. God is the one that shut and no one can. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you for those listening to the sound of my voice. Bless them abundantly. Bless them. Bless them. As they listen to this show, let their life transformed in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for those who are, for our listeners. We thank you for everyone that is listening to the sound of my voice today. Bless them abundantly. Bless those that are having pains in their body, those who are sick. Bless them right now. By the stripes of Jesus Christ, you are healed in the mighty name of Jesus. For those who are believing God for a job, Father, provide a job for them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Everything will work together for your good in the mighty name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. There is somebody listening to the sound of my voice. You have abnormal heartbeat. But today, God is going to correct it right now. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I decree that you are healed. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. That abnormal heartbeat will disappear. And your heart will begin to beat normal, the way God has created it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for blessing your children today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are all blessed in Jesus' name. Thank God for all of you who are listening to Bishop Echo's show. We just started today, and we're going to be on air every Monday at 8 p.m. On this show. And I believe that God is going to use this show to bless each and every listener, every child of God, and your lives will never be the same again. God bless you all. You want to contact me? Contact me on 832-373-3227. Our church address is 15987 West Timer Road, Houston, Texas, 77082. Our weekly activities is on Wednesdays, Bible studies at 7 p.m. Friday we have a prophetic night at 7 p.m. And on Sunday our services start at 10 a.m. in the morning. God bless you all. See you again next Monday. God bless you. Bye.
Amen.
Praise God.
Well, we're going to let God speak to us tonight, and we want to thank God and everybody that's listening. We've got a person that's going to come on there. He has a lot to tell us. You're welcome to listen in if you want to, Bishop. He could be in the next 10 or 15 minutes. So we're going to take a 5 minutes and listen to this, and we're going to come right back.
Sheba, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Acts chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. Acts chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. And there he found a certain man named Amos, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Amos, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole.
Well, we have Brother Allen. Come on, Brother Allen, and tell us what the Lord has given you tonight. Amen.
Good evening, Pastor Willie. God bless you. Good to be with you this evening.
Amen. Amen. Well, I have people listening to you, so go ahead and tell what the Lord has placed on your heart. You had me excited. Go ahead and tell us.
Well, we serve a mighty King. He's the King of Kings. He's the King of every day. He's the King of every way. He's the King of every place. He's the King of everybody. He's the King of everything. And we're seeing him more today in our desperation as this world is split down the middle. As the sides divide up, and people getting off the fence on one side or the other, and we're just seeing a division like never before in this world. And we'll talk tonight about some things that are happening, and I want to preface my remarks by putting a hope up there that even as the darkness grows and it seems insurmountable and things seem so desperate, that these are the best of times, because these are the times that people pray. These are the times that people get on their knees and on their faces and cry out to an almighty God. And there is no hope on this planet. There is no agency. There is no department. There is no politician, no political party. There is no hope. Things are too bad. They cannot be turned around. And that's when we just turn to God and we recognize Him as the only hope, as the only way, as the only truth. Lawmakers today are lawbreakers. Our judges are dispensing injustice. And our leaders, we don't know who they are, but they lead us to places that we do not want to go. So I just encourage anyone that's listening, just even as we're in these times, to be encouraged, not discouraged, to look up and to not look down. That old stick of the devil, he's a liar, he's a loser, he's headed for the lake of fire. And as Bishop Clark was always fond of saying, is you got to be on God's side. You got to be on God's side, and you got to be His child. You just got to cling tight and hang on, because He is a faithful Father. He is a faithful Creator, a faithful Savior, and He is there for us. He will not let us fall. He will not let us be harmed in the coming evil, in the coming perversion. He is a dependable Father, a dependable Creator, a dependable Savior. He has proven Himself over and over again as we prove ourselves unworthy over and over again. He just continues to prove Himself worthy. So hang with me as we go forward here. I've got some exciting things that are going on. As you know, the more you press in, I know everyone listening here has been pressing in more and more. Intercessory prayer warriors, and evangelists, and pastors, teachers, just the zeal and the fervor that we're feeling today as we march forward in unison. And I just want everyone to be encouraged as I share my testimony. I'm sure everyone listening has a powerful testimony, is being used powerfully of the Lord. And as we go through this valley, through this crucible, through this annealing fire, we are being prepared for His work and just to be perfected in His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Willie, as you know, about 8 years ago, my wife bought me a shofar, and I didn't think we could afford it at the time, but she just felt led to, I needed to have one, and since that time, I have not been able to put it down. It took some practice, it took me as a some horrible sounds that come out of there when you're starting out, but the Lord is faithful, and if you just apply yourself and pray, then He begins to show you, and it just becomes second nature. And after 8 years, the sound that comes from that trumpet is just glorious. It is a sound that draws attention. It just draws the ear of anywhere that you are. In general, people love that sound. There are people that hate the sound. It is a sound of judgment. It's a glorious sound, and the idea of that sound is to rejoice. It's a rejoicing sound of judgment, a judgment that we can realize was taken on a cross on a little hill outside Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. The judgment was rendered. A life was sacrificed. A life was given. The life of the living God of the universe, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, willingly and obediently accepted the nails in His hands and His feet and the scorn of the soldiers and His own people and His own friends as He went to that cross and was lifted up and cried out to His Father, forgive them. He became our sin on that cross. He fulfilled the judgment that was required, a judgment that had to be fulfilled for all sin for all time. And God is a just God and a forthright God, and And when he says something, he means it. And when he said that there must be punishment, there must be a hell paid for sin, he means it. And so he extracted that payment on that cross 2,000 years ago in full payment of all judgment of all time, of all sin, of all man, from the first man to the last man. It was all taken. The judgment of all mankind was taken on that cross at Calvary, where Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ was taken down from that cross. The dead body of Jesus Christ was placed in a tomb, and a seal was placed on the stone that was rolled across the entrance. And we all know the story. Many hundreds of witnesses reported it, and it was recorded in the New Testament books, the Gospels and the book of Acts, and in other places, so many that were witnesses to the fact that on the first day of the week, Jesus Christ rose again. By his resurrection power, we are all released. We're all set free. It's a jubilee, eternal jubilee that frees mankind from the shackles of bondage, the leg irons of our sin and our guilt, and what we deserve is broken. The justice that's due us is put upon that cross. And by the resurrection power, we are given eternal life, a washing, a renewal. Through a baptism in the blood of Jesus Christ into the family of God. We're made perfect. Because he became our sin, we are able to become his perfection. That's the standard, of course, for being in God's presence. So first and foremost, we just thank Jesus Christ for the trumpet that sounded on that first day of that week, that trumpet that resounded throughout the universe when he rose again.
Amen.
There is a bondage that we all are familiar with during the Civil War in 61 through 65, and then right smack dab in the middle of that war in 1863, Abraham Lincoln went to a battlefield in Gettysburg and spoke there it was a very short address. It's become known as the Gettysburg Address. It's not even called a speech. And in that address, Lincoln asked whether the sacrifices of these 50,000 casualties on this battlefield, whether these 50,000 men, I think it was 80,000 men that fought on either side of that battle, and, there were 50,000 casualties on that battlefield. And Abraham Lincoln asked the question, would their sacrifice, would their valor be sufficient to uphold the vision of the founding fathers for this one nation under God, he said, of a government of democracy on the planet, would the first one of its kind, of the people, by the people, for the people, would it be able to survive? So they were greatly divided then. The nation was at war. People didn't know where their next meal was coming from. They didn't know if the nation would survive. It was a dark, dark period in the history of America. It was a necessary battle. It was a valorous battle because man had said that it was all right for one man to own another man. It was all right for one man to rape another man's children. It was all right for one man to beat another man. It was all right for another man to kill a man. Our Supreme Court in 1857, Dred Scott decision, had said that this evil practice was acceptable. And it took a civil war, a bloody civil war, to restore what God said. God said, no, it is not acceptable. All men are created equal, and all men are endowed by him, by the living God of the universe, with unalienable rights, the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those are God-given rights. They are not man-given. They are not government-given. They are given by God. Our very lives and our health and our peace of mind is given to us by a righteous, holy God who created us. And wanted us to have those things, meant for us to have those things. And because of that stinking devil, because of man's greed and man's power, that's oftentimes thwarted. And for the most part, it's thwarted. And we just don't have the garden that God designed. We just don't have the peace that God intended. That was 150 years ago, November 19th, that address was delivered. Last week of November 19th, how many days ago was today? It was less than a week ago, November 19th. That was a Tuesday, last Tuesday. And it so happened I had to travel on business. I was able to reroute my travel. I passed through Philadelphia, and I blew the shofar at Independence Hall there in Philadelphia next to the Liberty Bell, and I found a plaque on the sidewalk there right in front of Independence Hall, and it said Abraham Lincoln had stood there in 1861 to raise it. I couldn't believe it. I'd gone there just to, because it was in route to where I was going to Washington and Baltimore, and I had to make a connection, so I chose Philadelphia so I'd have a layover there, and I was able to take a cab over to Independence Hall and blow the shofar there. And I met a ranger there that I'd met before when I blew the shofar there at the Liberty Bell before. It was another miracle. And he remembered, and he said, "Yes, sir, I remember you." And I said, "I remember you, Louis. Your name was Louis." And we rejoiced there that the oppression in this country, that the hope is shining brighter and brighter. And there was no opposition there for me sounding there in front of Independence Hall. From there on to Baltimore, and then drove into Washington. There was a gathering the next day of a Freedom Watch was having a gathering on November 19th opposite the White House to object to all of the inhumanity and the injustice coming out of that city, out of that capital of our nation in these days. And so I would see them the next day. I asked them, I said, "Do you know that your gathering is on November 19th, the day of the Gettysburg Address?" They were not aware. Our president declined to travel the 60 miles from Washington to Gettysburg to speak on the 19th. He declined. He's been sworn in twice on Abraham Lincoln's Bible, but he was in the White House that day, but he declined, without explanation, declined to travel 60 miles over to Gettysburg to make an address at that hallowed ground there. So I then drove, I guess that was Monday night, get close to Gettysburg. I spent the night in a hotel near Gettysburg. Next morning, I just started driving, looking for a restaurant. I got off the main beaten path. Lo and behold, it was very dark, very early in the morning, and all of a sudden, there was a big line of people, and there were news cameras and towers, antennas up in the air, and they were getting ready for the ceremony there at the National Military Cemetery there in Gettysburg. And I just happened upon the location. And then I was at the main gate. I had a quick breakfast, and then while it was still dark, I was talking to one of the rangers there, the volunteers, and asking where about Lincoln had stood. And she said, "Well, you can't really know. You can kind of, it's over in this general area, the evergreen section of the cemetery." And I said, "All right." There was a man standing next to me. Of all the thousands of people that were there, one man was standing there who knew of some recent research that was done the last couple of months. They identified Lincoln in a second photograph, and they were able then to triangulate his exact position where he stood at the Gettysburg Address. And I went with that man. There was a woman with him, and the three of us combed through that evergreen section. He had not been there before. We're looking at the tombstones, looking for one key tombstone. He found it. He called us over, and then he said, "Okay, hey, you walk over to two graves over this way. This is the spot," and he showed me the very spot. And as the sun rose there at Gettysburg, and thousands of people were outside waiting in line to go to the ceremony, I was inside at the actual, you know, right in among the graves and the statues of generals on horses and the cannons surrounding and the flags flying. The woman, filmed as the shofar sounded from that very spot. And it will be on YouTube in the next day or so. It's almost put together. There were a number of soundings that kind of got put together during that trip. And so they're at hornofsamuel.org. Right now there's a number of shofar soundings. The Liberty Bell sounding is there, and the sounding up in Austin in the rotunda of the Capitol building. And that's down in New York City at City Hall. And it's just been an amazing, amazing summer of soundings all around in Houston and Texas and the East Coast, New York. God has orchestrated the travel and the opportunities and the freedom to go and to sound the horn in these key places and key times. So that was Tuesday morning as the sun rose. It's a beautiful footage that she took, and it will be on YouTube here in the next day or so at hornofsamuel.org. From there, I traveled. The ceremony was later that morning. I had to get back to Washington to get to this Freedom Watch gathering. Which I did, and I was staying there, and you know, they said a prayer, they included Jesus Christ, and I was encouraged, but then they had a succession of conservative speakers get up there and talk about what they're going to do, what this is what my organization is going to do this, and we've got to get up and do this, and we've, and they lost focus on Jesus Christ. And each of them were talking about what their organization was going to do, and I had to be honest, but it made me ill. It made me physically ill to stand there and to see Jesus Christ left out of the discussion. You know, we all know that there is no hope other than Jesus Christ, and if we're not entirely focused on Him, the battle is lost. So I strolled over to the White House and sat on the shofar right in the front door of the White House. Over the back of the White House loomed the Washington Monument, and the scaffolding is coming off the Washington Monument. Last time I was there last month, the scaffold extended all the way up to the top of the Washington Monument. They're repairing the earthquake damage. In August of 2011, the earth shook in Washington, D.C., where it doesn't shake. They don't have earthquakes in Washington, D.C., but they had a very strong one, and it was strongly felt. They evacuated the White House. They evacuated Congress. They evacuated parts of the Pentagon. And that day, the earth shook in Washington, and they shut down the Washington Monument indefinitely. Now, I got to tell you what the Washington Monument represents. It represents Freemasonry. George Washington was a Freemason. Our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence were compromised by Masons that were, just like today, they're intertwined in our churches, in our government, our military. They're everywhere. And it is a horrible religion. On the inside, at the core of it, is the most evil that you can imagine is at the core of Freemasonry. It is a deceptive. Albert Pike, the renowned author of Freemasonry, talks about we have to lie to the masses of Freemasons because on the inside of it is something so horrible that they have to be developed into it. They can't just be told about it. In our Declaration of Independence were the words, at one point, we hold these truths to be sacred and undeniable. Those words are actually the original Thomas Jefferson edition of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be sacred and undeniable. That means they're from God. They're set apart. Sacred means it's just divine, set apart. Undeniable means man cannot deny it because man is below it. These truths are above man. Man cannot deny what is sacred. Those were the words that were originally written. And as you know, those words now, if we know the verse there, it's we hold these truths to be self-evident. Benjamin Franklin demanded the change. He said, we hold these truths, these God-given rights to life, but we hold these truths to be self-evident. We decide, we as men can see this, and it is evident to us, and therefore it is, which is the core of Freemasonry. It makes ourselves God. Like every cult, it seeks to draw on man's temptation to make himself a God. And so those godlike words were put in there, but they're self-serving, and they change the divine wording to human, a worldly, fallen interpretation. Those truths are divine and undeniable. They are not self-evident. They do not derive from what is evident to man. They do not derive from man. So I use this example to say that our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence, as beautiful documents as they are, and as much as they attempted to keep anarchy and to keep despots from ruling over people and to give the power to the people, they were flawed from the beginning. George Washington was a Mason. And now opposite the Washington Monument is the Lincoln Memorial. Now, Lincoln wasn't a perfect man by any stretch, but he was not a Freemason. And he represents to this nation freedom. He represents this nation, the Emancipation Proclamation that was signed in 1863 that declared all men free and that there just cannot be slavery in this land. So Abraham Lincoln sits there in that covered, vaulted, that hallowed ground up there at the top of those tall stairs, and he sits there looking out directly over the reflecting pond at the Washington Monument. And since the 1880s, I think, when that monument was completed, Lincoln has stood there staring it down. And I know if that were him, if there were a spirit in that marble statue, that it would just revulse at that phallic, cultic symbol on the other side of. Of course, the streets in Washington are laid out in the Masonic, the compass and divider pattern. It is another phallic symbol of a male and female with a G representing the phallic male dominance. And these are absolutely offensive to a loving God. And unfortunately, they are woven in, and it's time that we stand up. I don't have time, but a woman stood up as they passed
a bill back in October. She stood up on the floor of the House and proclaimed exactly what I'm saying. She said that we cannot serve two masters, that God will not be mocked, that our documents are flawed because they were written by Freemasons. And she had the courage to stand up and say that as they voted us into eternal debt and submitted our health and welfare to government health care. And that, while that vote was being taken on October 16th of 2013, that woman stood up in the House of the House of Representatives and shared those sacred words inspired by the Holy Spirit. By the way, before that week was out, I had opportunity to blow at all of the branches of government again at the Lincoln Memorial. That was back in October. I was completed with that sounding by October 22nd, less than 1 week after Diane Reedy stood up in the House of Congress and declared that our God will not be mocked. I was honored to be there sounding the shofar all around the Washington monuments and houses of government. Anyway, back to November 19th, just to recap there, the Gettysburg before dawn and Gettysburg sounding the shofar as the sun rose toward the east, toward our hope in Jerusalem, then down back to Washington, and then over to the Lincoln Memorial. And as I approached the Lincoln Memorial, there was a soldier in period garb, you know how they have reenactment, and I had the soldier hold my shofar, and I took a picture of him. And then he was telling me that Lincoln was about to speak, and sure enough, there at the foot of the stairs of Lincoln Memorial, there's a crowd of people gathered to hear an actor recite the Gettysburg Address. And Lincoln took the soapbox there and began to speak, I pushed my way through the crowd, and I filmed him saying the words, "One nation under God." That's a quote from the Gettysburg Address, "One nation under God." And when he finished, I walked up those stairs to the top, and I filmed the Washington Monument from Lincoln's perspective. I filmed Lincoln. I put the camera down on the ground, and then I blew the shofar from Lincoln toward the Washington Monument. And that's the video that you'll see here in the next day or so at hornofsamuel.org. So I just praise God for that opportunity, for that sounding. God is moving in this day. He will not be mocked, and he will prevail. He will prevail. Our nation is divided today like never before. Bishop Clark used to say, you know, you've got to get on God's side of the line. Well, that line is drawn. That line is so obvious today. You cannot sit on the fence today. You're not allowed to sit on the fence. They will find you out. This government, this National Security Administration, the NSA and IRS and the sheriffs, you know, they're going to find out whether you believe what that Bible says. And if you believe what that Bible says, then you are branded. You are a bigot. You are a hypocrite. You are a hater. And you will take some heat. You will take some flack. And so it's no longer possible to sit on the fence and pretend one way or the other. And those that are on God's side of the line are beginning to really be persecuted in this nation, just like they are in the Middle East and the Muslim world, that they have been for years. And they are more than ever now being burned in their churches, having their homes destroyed. And now in America, We're just on the road to that same type of persecution. And so those that are not firm in the faith, those that are not well rooted, are abandoning ship. They are bowing to the enemy. As examples of politicians, I'll just use one example here. In Houston recently, they had a pride parade. I stood in the audience with my camera, and I filmed all the politicians, Al Green out there waving a sign, "DOMA is dead, Defense of Marriage Act, a law Obama refused to obey." It is fallen. It was fallen with the Supreme Court rulings where they overruled the people of California and the people of America to say that a man can lay with a man. That happened just months ago here in this year, 2013. There in this crowd was Ben Hall, Pastor Ben Hall, who opposed Mayor Parker, our lesbian pro-abortion monstrosity that we have in the city hall of our city. God, you know, I've prayed, I've begged, I've met with Mayor Parker, I've put YouTubes up asking for people to pray. I've stood in the city council meeting praying and handing her information. And I've just for over 4 years now, I've worked tirelessly. I given opportunity to speak to the mayor and around the mayor and to sound the shofar over the mayor. She was just to a third term here. That she spends gobs of our taxpayer monies on her gay parade. We can't afford a Thanksgiving Day parade this year, by the way. But every year we go to all kinds of extravagant spending on this gay parade every year down the little section of Montrose. And again this year, here comes Ben Hall, Pastor Ben Hall. Now, I'm going to use Ben Hall, again, and nothing personal, but I'm going to use him as an example of politicians of our day. They have abandoned God's word, they have compromised God's word, and they have kowtowed to the enemy himself. When we deny God's word, when we deny God's truth, we are kowtowing to the enemy, and we are completely and worthless in the work of the Lord. We give up our armor, our shield, our helmets, our sword, our belt of truth. We give it all up. We just surrender. We surrender to that stinking enemy. Why do we do it? Because we're afraid. Because we're afraid. We don't know who we are. We're afraid to just announce to the world the son of Jesus Christ, but to say, oh, I am a child, a warrior, I am the bride of Jesus Christ. If we would just say that, the enemy would flee. Oh, Pastor Hunter, I've been in the last month so blessed as I stand in front of the sheriff's office and I call for him to surrender and come out with his hands up. And I stand in front of the police station at 1200 Travis, and I demand that Chief McClellan come out with his hands up. And I stand in front of City Hall, and I demand that Mayor Parker come out with her hands up. I demand that they all come out with their hands up to the foot of the cross of Calvary. And I announce the blood of the cross all over the sheriff's office, the police chief's office, and the mayor's office. At first, there was a lot of opposition, but then it just became a fixture there. And now the sheriff deputies, the police, they come up to me, and they say, keep it up. These folks ought to be in jail. The issue at hand, among many issues, is child sex slavery. Houston is the hub of child sex slavery in America. And we've just found out through the Freedom of Information Act, in a personal interview with Pat Lykos, former district attorney, keep your seatbelts on for this one. They're in the hub of child sex slavery here in Houston. There has not been one prosecution or one conviction by Harris County District Attorney in the last 5 years. Since the mayor's been in office, since her appointee chief, Charles McClellan, has been the police chief, and since her cohort in the city council together, Adrian Garcia, who marches in her parade, all three of them, wrapped up in the parade, all three of them wrapped up in perversion, all three of them wrapped up protecting the abortion clinic over here, and all three of them completely ignoring the evidence that's been delivered to them about child sex slavery. Child sex slavery is run by organized crime. Tillman Fertitta here in Houston is the mafia kingpin here in Houston, and he celebrates the mayor. As a matter of fact, last month in October, he had the annual True Blue Gala. The mayor, the police chief were at his estate over in River Oaks, and they had a fireworks show, and the trumpets sounded from their front yard and from their backyard. And while this abomination was going on, the trumpet was sounding all around, and the police couldn't stop it. They tried, but the police, they could not stop the trumpet from sounding all around that mess. Children are being raped and killed all over the city, Brother Willie. Small children, little girls and little boys brought here from around the world, kidnapped from the subdivisions of the Woodlands and the 5th Ward and the 3rd Ward, small children. And once they're kidnapped and indoctrinated with hardcore pornography and gang raped and conditioned, they are forced not only to take part in this this horrible, horrible crime, but if they don't do it well, if they don't please the customer, then they're beaten mercilessly and threatened. And then when they're done with these children, when these children are past their prime, they're using what's called snuff films. The children are taken and abused horribly and then killed. And then these films feed the pornography, which also Tillman Fertitta is a purveyor of pornography and child sex slavery. He's also the owner of all the golden ticket casinos in America. He owns the boardwalk. He owns Kiva Boardwalk. He owns Pleasure Pier. He owns all the Landry's restaurants. And he's going to meet Greg Abbott. Greg Abbott is coming to be honored by Tillman Fertitta next month. He owns Pony Boots, I hate to say, but Governor Perry is actually Tillman Fertitta is Governor Perry's biggest supporter. So these politicians that garner votes through their conservative viewpoints oftentimes are actually kowtowing as well to the evil one. That's why they talk pro-life, but they don't really do anything pro-life. They talk pro-justice, but they don't really do anything pro-justice. I hate to break a lot of hearts out there, but it's there is no politician, there is no political party that holds any hope for this nation or this planet in this day. This is not just a Houston problem. We don't just have perversion and abortion in Houston. We have perversion and abortion in the White House. We have a mayor that's a lesbian, a vowed lesbian, and who cut the ribbon to America's biggest clinic. Abortion and perversion are her two main. That's what she's all about, abortion and perversion. And that's what our White House is all about, abortion and perversion. Our president is a spokesman for Planned Parenthood. He has promoted a perversion in the military. He's got our military to its knees. He has promoted a gay marriage now. He never defended. He gave the order to Eric Holder not to uphold the DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act. And now with the Supreme Court rulings, he has successfully brought it down. And so, he has promoted abortion and perversion like no other person on this planet. And these agendas are going all around the world. Child sex slavery is a plague all around this planet. And gay marriage and everything is growing all around this planet. It's our world is divided like never before. We are ablaze. The powers and principalities are fighting, are locked in mortal battle right now. And as children of God, we are in the battle as well. There, for those of us that are praying, that are marching in the Lord's army, there are cavalry all around us. There are soldiers that we can't see, army in position that we know is there, that we can sense is there, but we can't see it right now. But just know that as valorous warriors, as valiant warriors, we will tread on the head of the enemy. It says in Psalm 60:12 that through God, not through ourselves, not through any political party, not through any savior nation, no, but through God and God alone, we shall do valiantly. For he it is that shall tread down our enemy. God promised in Genesis at the fall, even during the fall, he promised us that we would bruise the enemy's head. In Romans 16:20, it says that we will tread the enemy's head. God promises us throughout his word that we will prevail in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ will sound forth the trumpet one day. And I believe he's sounding it in this day. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. That's what we're seeing today. So that's the hope, and that's why as I began to speak, I hope I didn't hurt too many feelings, but sometimes that's necessary. I hope I didn't cause anyone too much desperation, but sometimes that's what it takes. And those things draw us to a living God. They draw us in a way that we can posture ourselves correctly, which is on our knees, on our faces. We can come before a living God and say, there is no hope but you. We are fallen. We are sinners. We are unworthy. We are unable. And there's only one hope in Jesus Christ. It's you. Jesus, it's your blood. Jesus, it's your resurrection. Jesus, you are our hope. You are our only hope in this time.
Amen.
He's there. He's there for us. He's there for
us. Yes, and praise the living God. Amen. Amen. You got to hold on with you?
Well, let me summon it. What time have we got right now?
Well, we got the 9:30.
What time is it right now?
9:07. 7 minutes after 9.
9:07. Praise God. 23. Praise God. Well, I'm gonna walk over to another part of the house here where the trumpet is. And I hope I've been focused enough tonight on Jesus Christ, because everything that he allows, everything that that he allows us to do is for his glory. It is for his purpose, and that is to glorify himself. There is none righteous in this world. There is no one deserving of salvation. And yet, like any father for a child, that divine love that a parent has for a child, it just keeps coming through. In the darkest of times, God will be heard. God will be. God will prevail.
Amen.
Shall we sound the trumpet, Brother Louie?
Right ahead. It's up to you.
All right. Let's do that. And let's thank God for the trumpet sound. Let's thank God that his coronations sound is heard at his coronation. That Jesus is a king. He came once as a lamb. He comes again as a conquering king, the lion of Judah, the lion and the lamb. He came as a lamb. He's coming again as a lion. And so that's the king of sounds. There's trumpet sounds. There's lots of beautiful sounds. God allows us to praise him with. But he gives us one as the king of sounds. You hear it in coronations and battles throughout the Bible, and Gideon's 300 trumpets. We hear it at the walls of Jericho. People shouted. We hear it at Jubilee every 50 years, as it says on the Jubilee, the verse, the Capitol of America, proclaim liberty throughout all the land, all the inhabitants thereof. The Bible says that's a Jubilee verse in Leviticus, and it tells us that every 50 years we are to set the captives free. That was a necessary. Yeah, would enslave themselves for safety, for survival. Today we don't see that. We don't have to do that today. But back then, God gave every 50 years, you set your captives free. You take your land and restore it to its original owner. Sign and you put it back. You take everything that's been messed up and you make it right. God put a picture of Jubilee. God put a picture of restoration and Jubilee. And he said that when that happens, the shofars are going to line up across Israel. Now they line up. Men and women pick up the shofar for the first time in 2,000 years. Men and women have been picking up this instrument and sounding it around the world. I believe that God is preparing this planet. God is preparing to hear the word, to hear the sound of the trumpet, that they know that when they hear that trumpet sound, it's a time of rejoicing. The time to know that their sins have been charged. It's also a time to know if you're still carrying that sin on your own shoulders. If there is someone out there tonight that is still carrying their own sin, that they're still being controlled, if they're still waking up in the morning guilty and condemned and being reminded by the devil, and they haven't gotten the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ, the freedom from sin, the freedom to stand up and tell that stinking devil that he is defeated, he's still alive. If someone out there tonight hasn't heard and that something hasn't reached their heart, and that surrender hasn't happened, that call of judgment, you can either carry that judgment yourself, or you can admit to a loving and holy. He's been waiting for you to join his son at that cross at Calvary. He's been waiting for you to join Jesus and say, I surrender, Father. I surrender it all, Father. It's too heavy. I can't carry it anymore. Maybe there's someone out there tonight that's at that point, that's ready, that's been wanting, desiring, longing to give up grief, the hurt of this world. Those things that they've experienced, the hurts and the injustices that they've carried, and then the injustices and the hurts that they've inflicted. Oh, and we carry it, and we try to carry it, and it gets heavier and heavier, like bonds, like chains. It gets heavier. There's only one path to freedom. There's only one key, and you've got that key. You've got the right. You've got that dime in your pocket to make that call to the heavenly defender. And you just go to him. You say, I'm tired. I'm wore out. I'm defeated. I'm on my face. I'm on my back. Father God, I can't do it by myself. And I'm sorry I tried to be you. I'm sorry I put myself in your place. And now I can see. I can see my great need. I can see my sin. I can see the people I've hurt, the things I've stolen, the lies I've told, the lies I've taken. Just know that God's bigger than anything that we can do, than any sin that we can commit. And God told us that if we're faithful to confess our sins, that he will be faithful to forgive us. So as I sound this trumpet call tonight, I ask God to touch those hearts that will hear, touch those ears that will hear, Father God, that they can hear your word. They can hear the forgiveness that your son provided on that cross. Father God, this is your sound. I give it to you. I give you your sound, Father God, and I thank you. Thank you for the trumpet sound. All right, brother, well, here we go.
All right.
Thank you, Father, for everything. Just look upon us and have mercy.
Tonight we just say hallelujah. Without you, Father, tonight we couldn't have heard the horn of plenty blowing out. We couldn't have heard the testimony. But, Father, we are all messengers, and our message is the same. Jesus Christ is on his way back. And we just want to say because of you, you're on your way back to take us home to be with you. But while we labor in the vineyard, we want to make for sure we leave nothing unturned. We ask you to bless us, to keep us. Tonight's the night that we just say, Allah, 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 Allah. We love you. We praise you for the teaching you have given us, for the healing you have given us, for all that you have done for us. And we thank you, Father, for everything. For without you, nothing can be done. I love you, Father. You're all that I have. You're all the hope that I have. But without you, there's nothing I can do. I just say thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your holy name. Amen. Amen. You got anything else to say, brother? David? Brother David, you must be out in the street.
Yes.
You got anything else to say? I know the power of God is up on you. I know it's up on you. Praise God. Eshoka papa city. Hey, hey, hey. Praise God. Oh yeah. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Glory to you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for everything. Your word is full of power. Your word. Woo. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for everything, Father. Oh, yeah. Thank you for him just giving your word unadulterated. Thank you for it, Father. What is your word? It's your word. It's your word. It's your word, Father. It's your word that has power. It's your word. Your word. It's your word. It's your word. We live by it. We dine by it. We just know that without him, we can do nothing. But we said thank you for everything that you have done for us tonight. And then, Father, as we come to a close this night, we don't close our prayer. We just keep trusting in you because you're the only true God. Without you, we can't do nothing. But it's in you we can do all things. And tonight we say we love you.
Yeah.
We love you, and we thank God.
Yeah.
Amen, and praise God. I'll see you on the other side, Brother David, okay?
Very good, Brother Willie. God bless you.
God bless you now. Amen.